भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada. Canto 1, The Creation, Chapter 1. Questions by the sages. Text number 2. It's a long meter, but happily we know the meter. Dharmak prajita kaita votra paramo nirmatsaranang satang. Dharmak prajita kaita votra Nirmatsaranang satam Vedyang vastava matra vasta shivadam Tapatrayon mulanam Vedyang vastava matra vasta shivadam Tapatrayon mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite King Vaparairishvaram Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite King Vaparairishvaram Sadyo Hridya Varudhyate Trikriti Bhik Shushushubhistakshanat Sadhya Hridya Varudyate Trikritibhi Shushushubhistakshanat. Anyone? Dharma projita kaita votra paramo nirmatsaranang satang. Vedyang vastava batrushi vasivadang tapatrayon mulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite King Vaparairishvara Sandhya Hridya Varudhyate Trikriti Bhishushushubhishtakshana.
Ladies?
Dharmak prajita kaita votra paramo nirmatsaranang satang. Vedyang vastava matra vasta shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite King Vaparairishvara Sadhya Hridya Varudhyate Trikriti Bhishushushubhishtakshanat.
Word for word. Dharmaha, religiosity, prajitta, completely rejected, kaitavaha, covered by fruit of intention, atra, herein, paramaha, the highest, nirmatsaranam, of the 100% pure in heart, Satam,
devotees. Vedyam, understandable. Vastavam, factual. Atra, herein. Vastu, substance. Shivadam, well-being. Tapatraya, threefold miseries. Unmulanam, causing uprooting of. Srimat, beautiful. Bhagavate, the Bhagavat Purana. Mahamuni, the great sage Vyasadeva. Krite, having compiled. Kim, what is. Va, the need. Parai, others. Ishvaraha, the Supreme Lord. Sadhyaha, at once. Hridi, within the heart. Avarudhyate, become compact. Atra, herein. Kritibihi, by the pious men. Shushushibihi, by culture. Tatkshanat, without delay. So, His Holiness Yadananda Swami has asked me to do this, even though he already did the verse, because he said he just covered a little bit of it, but I don't know how much I'll be able to cover either, because there's so much in here. Practically every word is a class.
Hare Krishna.
All right. Okay, so is it piped in the kitchen too and stuff like that? Okay. Translation, completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated. This Bhagavat Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality, distinguished from illusion, for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. Jai Shishi Radha Gopinath. I can't speak with this thing in front of me. It's got to be kind of under the sun. That's why I have a problem.
Hare.
All right. What is the need of any other microphone? No, scripture. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. That sounds like a purport, but just like the first verse of the Bhagavatam, you know, the one Janmad Yasya. That's 190. It's 180 or 90 words. That's three times, the translation of that verse is three times longer than the most famous American speech given by an American president. Which is what? Any Americans in the audience? No, but that's a good guess. My fellow Americans. No, God, no. I'm not a crook. Here's Nixon. I'm not a crook. Famous. Abraham Lincoln, the Gettysburg Address, 87 words. The absolute truth, spoken concisely, is true eloquence. Of course, it wasn't the absolute truth, but it was pretty darn eloquent. Okay, so please repeat. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated. This Bhagavat Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva, in his maturity. Is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. What I'm going to do, because this is 3-page plus purport, I'm going to read a paragraph and then try to say something. And we'll see how far we get. I might just go, depending on how it goes, I might just go from the first paragraph to the last paragraph. Because that's if you can't do everything, it's a good way to do it. Because the first and the last are usually super on message, as they say. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport. Religion includes 4 primary subjects, namely pious activities, economic development, satisfaction of the senses, and finally, liberation from material bondage. Irreligious life is a barbarous condition. Indeed, human life begins when religion begins. Eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating are the 4 principles of animal life. These are common both to animals and to human beings. But religion is the extra function of the human being. Without religion, human life is no better than animal life. Therefore, in human societies, there is some form of religion which aims at self-realization and which makes reference to man's eternal relationship with God. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, who is forcing open my eyes, which were blinded by the darkness of ignorance, with the torchlight of knowledge. So in the first paragraph of the purport, which... Srila Prabhupada makes the point that human life begins with religion, which is why he would say things like I mentioned yesterday. He famously said to Cardinal Danielou, this French cardinal who was quite a character. You can see the pictures. Prabhupada is, you can even see a movie of this. Prabhupada is, he's pointing right to him. And he's saying,
today's so-called civilized man is lower than the lowest animal.
And he knew to whom he was talking. Elsewhere in the conversation, they're talking about meat eating. Because Prabhupada, he would, when he couldn't get anywhere with somebody, and it was very hard to get anywhere with this cardinal, who was very popular, actually, this cardinal. He was a darling of the French... the youth in Paris. So anyway, so Prabhupada's trying to convince him about, you know, the first point about sinful life is the worst thing is meat eating. And the cardinal won't budge, you know. And then finally the cardinal says, you mean if we don't kill the animals that we can love God? And then Prabhupada said,
yes.
He's trying. I mean, that's the... Then Prabhupada says,
do not kill is one item of knowledge.
One item of love.
Do not kill is one item of love.
I mean, duh, you know. Thou shalt not kill. That's the thing, you know. But how they've interpreted it in Kali Yuga, they twist it. You know, we twist it, especially in the Kali Yuga. Especially in the Kali Yuga, we twist. Twist and turn, and you know, it's so bad. So, first of all, Srila Prabhupada makes the point of this paragraph that human life begins with religion, but then he goes right into the way we usually practice religion, which is dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And this is what the Bhagavad has come to kick out. In the first verse of the Bhagavatam of the 18,000 work by Srila Vyasadeva, of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the beautiful story of the personality of Godhead, he establishes that Krishna is the absolute truth. In the Janmadyasya verse, he establishes that. And then in the second verse, he established that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate Shastra. Dharma Projita. Pra means completely. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated. This is why we come to the material world. We come to this material world not because we're angels, not because Krishna wanted us to come. We come because we're tiny and we're prone to be foolish. And so we've decided to set ourselves up here, you know, as some kind of independent controller and enjoyer. Never works. Life after life, we die. You know, created, destroyed, birth, and death. Never works. So, most of the Veda, I think I mentioned this yesterday, is about appealing to our material desires, just so in this God project we have, so to speak, that we don't degrade ourselves too badly. So most of the Veda is Karmakanda. And then you go to Jnanakanda, or Upasana Kanda, worship of demigods. And Jnanakanda, finally you start seeing through, you know, you start seeing the futility of this God project and going to heaven and still making ourselves the center. Krishna certifies in the seventh chapter that we don't come to him because we're angels. We come to him because we have material motives. The verse? Chatur. Chatur vidha bhajanti mam janak sukriti arjuna artho jigyasur artarti jnani shabaratar shaba. This is on the heels of the four kinds of people who don't surrender, you know. The grossly foolish, the lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons. And typically, Krishna doesn't leave us there. He does counterpoint, point, counterpoint. Then he goes, okay, core four kinds of pious men, surrender unto me. But look at those motives. Distressed, you know, broke, basically, out of money, out of funds. Curious. And then finally, the last person is wise. And there is a progression there from grosser to subtle. But still, it's all about me. And that's what materialistic religion is about. And the classic, you know, phrase that Prabhupada would say, first Prabhupada would grant the value of praying, oh God, give us this daily bread. Okay, at least you're going to God for your bread. But really, when you get down to it, it's not love of God, it's love of bread, as Prabhupada would say. And the thing is, as long as the goal of our religiosity, our dharma, kama, artha, moksha, our dharma, artha, kama, moksha, is sense gratification, then if you can find a way to get your sense gratification without religion, then you kick out God. And that's exactly what's happened in the modern age. And who knows the classic example of, you know, bread and God and the stories that Prabhupada tells? Raise your hand. Yeah, the communists, in both in Russia, in Soviet Russia, and in communist China too. I didn't know this, but this has also happened in communist China. You know, when they came in, when the revolution came in, because they know religion's a big, powerful force, and you gotta get rid of it. You gotta replace it, you know, with the state, if you want to capture the people's minds and hearts. So, what do you want? Oh, we need bread. We're needy. Pray to God. Pray to your God for bread. Where's the bread? It's not here. And then, pray to us. Oh, communist brothers, please give us bread. Here it is. And then, of course, the follow-up, Prabhupada says, is, of course, the poor, bewildered man never stops to think, where from these communists have got this bread? Rascal, can you make the grain? Can you make the rain? Can you know, the whole thing. But it's not really love of God. So Srimad Bhagavatam has come to establish, as we say, the gold standard, you know, the benchmark of what real religion is. We come to this material world to set ourselves up, you know, to be independent controllers and enjoyers. We fail, and then if we have a good heart, you know, duskriti and sukriti. Duskriti means we have merit, but it's all twisted around, you know, lower mode desires. So if we have sukriti, if we have some kind of piety, then we might inquire, is there a supreme, is there a God, is there a Lord, like that. But then we go to him with material motives, and if we don't progress through those motives, if we stay stuck, then it's lamentable. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. It's still all about me. Okay. What did I have written down? All right. Any questions so far about that? Okay. So, second paragraph. In the lower stages of human civilization, there is always competition to lord it over the material nature. Or in other words, there is a continuous rivalry to satisfy the senses. Driven by such consciousness, man turns to religion. He thus performs pious activities or religious functions in order to gain something material. That's what we've been saying. But if such material gains are obtainable in other ways, then so-called religion is neglected. This is the situation in modern civilization. Man is thriving economically, so at present he is not very interested in religion. Churches, mosques, or temples are now practically vacant. Men are more interested in factories, shops, and cinemas than in religious places, which were erected by their forefathers. This practically proves that religion is performed for some economic gains. Economic gains are needed for sense gratification. Often when one is baffled in the pursuit of sense gratification, he takes to salvation and tries to become one with the Supreme Lord. Consequently, all these states are simply different types of sense gratification. Okay. All right. And we'll just keep reading. In the Vedas, the above-mentioned four activities are prescribed in the regulative way so that there will not be any undue competition for sense gratification. But Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental to all these sense gratificatory activities. It is purely transcendental literature, which can be understood only by the pure devotees of the Lord who are transcendental to competitive sense gratification. In the material world, there is keen competition between animal and animal, man and man, community and community, nation and nation. But the devotees of the Lord rise above such competitions. They do not compete with the materialist because they are on the path back to Godhead, where life is eternal and blissful. Such transcendentalists are non-envious and pure in heart. In the material world, everyone is envious of everyone else, and therefore there is competition. But the transcendental devotees of the Lord are not only free from material envy, but are well-wishers to everyone, and they strive to establish a competition-less society with God in the center. The contemporary socialist's conception of a competitionless society is artificial because in the socialist state, there is competition for the post of dictator. This is what Prabhupada told Professor Katovsky, Professor C.G. Katovsky at the University of Moscow. Katovsky would not admit anything. Prabhupada would always refer to that conversation. Even big professor, they do not know the first thing about spiritual science. He frankly told me, Swamiji, after this body, everything's finished. And then, what else? And the other point was, Prabhupada was preaching Varnashram, and he wouldn't admit the wisdom of, you know, dividing society into four natural classes, because they're trying to establish some, you know, classless society. And Prabhupada said, well, look, you're a professor, you're here in the university. Somebody else is in the, you know, collective farm. Somebody else is in the factory. Somebody else is in the Russian Duma, you know, the parliament. So what are you talking about? There's different kinds of people here. He still would not admit. And then finally, Prabhupada got him to admit this. We all accept authority.
You accept Lenin. We accept Krishna.
Admit. Okay, I admit. Got him to admit that. Okay, so from the point of view of the Vedas or from the point of view of common human activities, sense gratification is the basis of material life. There are three paths mentioned in the Vedas. One involves fruitive activities to gain promotion to better planets. Another involves worshipping different demigods for promotion to the planets of the demigods. And another involves realizing the absolute truth and his impersonal feature and becoming one with him. Okay, let me stop there a little bit. So in that first line of the verse, dharmak projita kaitavo traparamo nirmatsaranang sata. So the Bhagavatam, it completely rejects, you know, me-centered religion. All, you know, completely rejects all religious acts which are materially motivated. This Bhagavat Purana propounds the highest truth, paramo, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. Let's see where the reference is. It's somewhere in the purport where Prabhupada says we can't understand what Krishna is saying unless we leave aside those material desires. As long as we have material desires, we won't understand what Krishna is saying, because we'll resent what Krishna is saying. So that's why we hear Prabhupada say, if you hear his recordings, you hear him say,
try to understand.
You hear him say that all the time. Try to understand. And then you hear him say,
try not to misunderstand.
Because he knows that's what we do. We bring our material desires to the hearing process, and therefore we only hear what we want to hear. Who has taken Rasamandala Prabhu's teacher training course? Okay. All right. So do you remember in TTC 1, the five levels of listening? What's the first level? Do you remember? Ignoring. Yeah. In one ear and out the other. We're willfully ignoring what's being said. That's mysteriously called a level of listening. But anyway, I guess you're there. So there's sound going around in the room. So on some level, it's banging against your eardrum. But it's ignoring. And then a little better than ignore. And Prabhupada, when Prabhupada would say that word, he would spin it. How would Prabhupada say ignorance?
Ignorance.
He would connect it with ignore. It's a willful act. It's not a passive thing. To be in ignorance is a willful act. We willfully ignore God. So, a little higher than ignoring. Remember? Uh-oh. I'm going to tell your husband. You don't remember the... No, that's way up there. No, is that something above pretending? Pretending to listen. You know, we all do it. You know, you're right. You've been stopped. It's like you're caught. You want to get somewhere, and then you just want to get away, right? And you yeah. Or maybe you're caught at a Sunday feast or something, and you don't. Jai Sri Radha Gopinath. And we're not interested in hearing at the moment. So we're just, you know, making, and we just want to be polite, right? And then as soon as we can, we look for, the opportune moment, and we're out of there. So pretending. We only appear to be listening. And then, you said, selective. Selective means only hearing what we want to hear. And we do that all the time, too. You know, especially like His Holiness Radhanatha Swami has this nice formula for association. Because when, you probably all know this here, because His Holiness Yadunandan Maharaj is based here. And when he did his master's in fall downs from sannyas and ISKCON history, what was the number one cause of leaving sannyas? Do you remember? It was a little more specific. Not enough what? What kind of association? No? Well, yeah, but you got to be a little more... Yeah, no friends. It's lonely at the top, they say. But that's our choice. So therefore, Radhana Swami says, he tries to follow this formula. You know, 50% he tries to associate with his god brothers. You know, people who aren't always automatically just, you know, falling at his feet, throwing flowers at him. Because if that's all you have, then you might start to think you're God one of these days, you know. It's not healthy. So, 50%, and then in that, because in that peer association, and even when you're associated with God brothers, you know, we tend to talk about, what are you doing, Prabhu? I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and there's a subtle kind of one-upmanship. You know, I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. So it comes out, but if we're practicing focused sadhana, we're embarrassed by even what we're saying. And then we remind ourselves to get back in the mood of serving and not trying to assert ourselves as being so great, right? So 50%, so that's where the envy actually comes out, and you can dispose of it. You can see for what it is and rejected it, you know. Durena, far, kick it far away. And then I think it's 30% you're giving association to people, you know, less fortunate on the path. And 20%, or is it the other way? Anyway, it's 30-20, and you're just inspired to serve somebody who is so confidential servant of Krishna. You just want to serve that person. So he gives this formula. So in Yadanand Maharaja's paper, it was to a person, practically. It was, I didn't have any friends, you know. And we're social beings. Look, we come from Krishna. Mamai, Vangsho, Jivalok. It's not just Krishna. It's Radha Krishna. At the center of existence is this beautiful love affair. At the center of existence is not a black hole or a big bang or a cloud of crud or an infinitely aggressing point of all these these mechanistic, you know, unattractive ideas about the origin of existence. At the center of existence is Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, this beautiful love affair. It's about relationship. It's Radha Krishna. So, we are of Krishna, so we also crave relationship. And if we're not getting it, if we're not doing it right materially or spiritually, we're going to seek it out in the same old way. You know, same, we say same old, same old. So, in selective listening, sometimes, you know, we're walking down the street with a friend and then we're just waiting for a moment to assert ourselves. You know, we're just hearing something as like ammunition to say what we want to say, you know, and not really being attentive to what the person's saying. You know? it's good, you know, it's good to know, to be mindful of these things. In the one-third canon of purport, Prabhupada says, a devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is speculative. Think about that. A devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is speculative. What does that mean to you? There's a difference between being thoughtful and being speculative. What does that mean? Prabhupada gave the example of water. You know that example? You taste water. And if you're speculative, you just try to, you know, understand what that is with your own mind. And you come up with inevitably something impersonal or void. You boil it down to chemicals and atoms and molecules, you know. But being thoughtful, being philosophical, we take Krishna's statement. Rasa aham apsu. I am the taste of water. I am the taste of water. And then we meditate, especially if it's water as it is, if it's real water coming from Krishna, you know, sweet, sweet taste, then we can appreciate the attractive, quenching, sweet taste of water. Yeah. Okay, third level. So selective. We're just, you know, hearing what we want to hear as ammunition to come back and say something, you know, even better, to assert ourselves, assert our supremacy. And then finally we come to what? What's the next level? Anybody? Oh, you must know. I think you already said it. Didn't you say? Yes, attentive listening. Now, you might remember this nice purport, the key to attentive listening. Canto 1, Chapter 3, Krishna is the source of all incarnations, this beautiful lyrical ending to this purport. Prabhupada writes, the secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. And we think, oh my God.
It gets better, though. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. Uh-huh. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. Uh-huh. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Sri Krishna in person in the pages of Bhagavatam. It starts with controlling the knowledge-acquiring senses. Indriyani paranyaho indriyebhyak parang manaha manasastu para buddhir yo buddhek paratastu saha. The working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. And then Krishna gives us the key to controlling those senses, or controlling oneself. I just gave away a question I was going to ask. Anyway, it's like this. Tasmatvam indriyanya dao niyamya bharatarshaba papmanam prajahihyenam gyanavigyana nashanam. Therefore, in the very beginning, one must curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by what? Regulating the senses, and thus curb this great symbol of sin, lust, the destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. The senses are gross. We have a fighting chance of controlling the senses. It's when lust is lodged in the intelligence, in the mind, it's more difficult. So therefore we practice sadhana bhakti. You know, in a thoughtful, in a deep, in a grateful way. And then we can uproot. And then the highest level of attention is empathic listening when we're, you know, counseling, or when we hear not only what the person's saying, the content, but we hear the intent, why they're saying it, the motive. And we can feel their feelings. That's the highest form of listening. And then we can try to help people. Okay, it's 8:30, and we didn't cover the whole thing as I expected, but I'll just say one more thing. That attentive listening, that's the kind of listening that Krishna, that Vyasadeva is talking about, where he says in the last line, Sadhyo hridyavaridyate te kritibik shushu shubish takshanat. Kritibik, good-hearted, pious, shushushu, hearing. Hearing with an ear to understand, not to misunderstand or to twist, you know, without us even being aware of it, you know. So, okay, so any questions or comments about, yes? The role of critical thinking. Okay, that's a very good question. Does everybody understand? What's the role of critical thinking if we're not supposed to speculate? Right? We made a distinction there between philosophical speculation, which means you start with Krishna, you take Krishna's words, and mental, which means you start with the mind. All right? So critical is also... is good if it's taken in the right sense. Critical doesn't necessarily mean destructive, as some people take it, but critical, thoughtful. Just like you read in Prabhupada's purports that the devotee should be independently thoughtful. What does that mean? This is similar to critical thinking. What does it mean that we should be independently thoughtful? This sounds like opening the floodgates, just speculating like mad. What does it mean that Prabhupada says he wants his devotees, his followers, to be independently thoughtful? Independent of what? Yes, you're right. It was a letter. It wasn't in a purport. Okay, independent of what? Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, he wants to use our God-given buddhi, our intelligence, to think critically, to think, to consider all aspects of a situation. And it's not always easy to know. In the seminar I teach, Srila Prabhupada, our founder of Acharya, we have this thing about, we do this exercise in knowing principles, the difference between principles and details, which is not always easy. For example, Manila, 1972, October 12th, Sri Kirti Prabhu was massaging Srila Prabhupada. And out of the blue, Srila Prabhupada says, "My godbrothers criticize me because I let men and women live in the temples together." Just like here we are, right? "This is not done in India. Therefore, they criticize me." That was a big issue, because that spring of 72, Prabhupada had invited the godbrothers to come and participate in the Anantashesh Foundation ceremony for the Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir, not the Vedic planetarium, but the temple that's there now. And so many of them came, but they had issues with Srila Prabhupada. One was that he was letting us call him Srila Prabhupada. That's one. But the other was that he was allowing men and women to live in the temples together. This is not done. And they even quoted Shastra to support their position. And the Shastra they were quoting was from the seventh canto, "The man is like a butter pot and the woman's like fire, and if you put them too close, they're going to melt." So who knows Prabhupada's reply to his godbrothers? Do you know what he said? For them, this was an ironclad principle. He was violating Shastra. He was violating an unchangeable principle. But Prabhupada had in mind a higher principle. Do you know what that principle was? Access. "When I came to America," he told his godbrothers, "I saw that the boys and girls were educated the same way, and they're used to freely mixing. I can't all of a sudden just insist on, you know, no contact. And if I don't allow women to come to these temples, there's no Krishna consciousness outside these temples," especially in those days. You're either in or you're out. It was Krishna or Maya, black and white. "So what am I to do? Deny, you know, more than half the human race, if we believe statisticians, access to Krishna's mercy? What am I to do?" And so when Prabhupada said this, he was saying to Sri Kirti, "My godbrothers criticized me. I have allowed women to live in the temples." So this is not done. And so Sri Kirti, his mind started reeling. He said, "I got to think of a good question now. I got to word this right. You know, what?" So here's the question: Srila Prabhupada, how do you know the difference between changing a principle and adjusting a detail? Silence. Prabhupada, he would do this. He would let you stew a little bit, as we say, stew, you know. And Sri Kirti is massaging Prabhupada. Finally, after about 5 minutes,
"That takes little intelligence."
Now, in the room at the time was Burijan Prabhu. Burijan was in the room because he talks about this in his book, My Glorious Master. And Burijan said, "Sri Kirti's question was very good, because it's not easy, always easy, to know the difference between an unchangeable principle and an adjustable detail." Right? So it is divined, it is discerned, though, in the company of serious and sincere Vaishnavas, well-rounded Vaishnavas, who aren't pushing their own agenda. Srila Prabhupada warned us that it's not your business to criticize my godbrothers, but learn from their mistakes. So for them, they were standing pat on rules. And Prabhupada said, "If I stood pat on rules, I couldn't have crossed the ocean. I couldn't have put my boga in the same refrigerator with meat. I couldn't allow men and women to live in the temples." But Prabhupada said, "Because I have made this adjustment, therefore I am successful." Whoa, that's huge. Of course, within, you know, parameters, you know, we have our etiquettes. And he knew he was risking scandal, and scandals did happen. They are happening, and they will happen. But what's the bottom line here? The bottom line is access to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And our founder Acharya is uniquely empowered to know how to do that. Give access according to time, country, and candidate. So, if you want to read more about this, you look at Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 23, text 105, and you will see what it takes to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And Prabhupada is teaching us. He's teaching us. He's training us by his written word and his spoken word to be able to discern these things. We have to become students, not just superficial students, but we have to become lifelong committed students of our founder Acharya to know how to spread Krishna consciousness now all over the world according to time, country, candidate. See, I'm getting worked up now. I'm getting in the seminar mood. And everybody's invited. I was talking with Mangala Chandrika yesterday. It's going to be 10:30 to 1:30, 3 hours, no afternoon, just 3 hours a day for 5 days, and we'll get 10 lessons in. And then we're going to break somewhere between 11:45 and noon for 15 minutes for, you know, Gayatri and use the restroom. And everybody's invited to the classroom. So I hope you can come. Your service permitting, please come. Is that all right? Okay. Yes. No such thing. Believe me, there's no stupider than me. Yeah. Oh, I hope I don't disappoint you. Prabhupada would give different answers. When Prahlad Maharaj prays, I don't want, you know, liberation. I just want to take these fools and rascals with me. That's certainly a mood in Prabhupada's mission. But Prabhupada sometimes would make it plain that we don't have to, you know, imitate, you know, the Mahajans. We can follow in their footsteps. We should want to go back to Godhead, because if I say, Prabhu, you know, I just want to stay here birth after birth. The acharyas know that I mean I want to stay here and eat pizza, eat ice cream, look at the girls, and go to baseball games. That's what they... So it's healthy for me to want to go back to Godhead. In the ultimate stage, yes, Krishna consciousness is beyond liberation. If we're serving Krishna, you know, if we're purely, we're back to Godhead. Therefore, the saintly person blesses four kinds of... What is it? The sage blesses four kinds of people. And for the pure devotee, the blessing was jivova marova. Either you're with Krishna here, or you're with him there. It doesn't matter. Yeah, we should want to go back to Godhead. And back to Godhead means unmotivated religion. That's what Vyasadeva is leading up to. We want to just be ourselves. You know who we are in our natural original state? We're natural servants of Krishna. That's who we are. It seems like, you know, the false ego thinks it's an impossible dream, an impossible challenge to surrender to Krishna and be a pure devotee. All we're trying to do is be who we are. It's as natural for the soul to serve and love and give to Krishna as it is for the mind to want to take and be served and lust. So we just have to make a stand. I'm not going to be bullied anymore. I'm not going to take it. Just say no to Maya. But that's only done when we get a higher taste. Therefore, in the beginning, we do come with these desires. People like Sugadeva Goswami says, no worries, akama sarva kama va. Whatever your desires are, Just dive in. Just dive into the process of pure devotional service. And those desires will drop off like a snake shedding its skin, because we'll get something better. We can't give up desires like the Buddhists. You know, that's their solution, right? Zero thou art, and unto zero shalt thou return. No, we're something. Like Satsut Maharaj, he approached Swamiji in the early days and he said, "Swamiji, how can I understand that I'm just nothing?" And Prabhupada said, "You are not nothing, you are something. But you are not this body." And then he said, and then later on he said, at another time he said, "Swamiji, if Krishna is all attractive, why is it so difficult to surrender to him?"
"Because you hate him."
Whoa! There's a cold shower, pure devotee cold shower. Yeah. But what happens is, as we dive into pure devotional service, we fall in love with Krishna. If we actually are shushubi, kritibi, shushushubi, stakshanat, if we actually bring submissive hearing to the speaker, then we hear, as we take it in. We let it, it doesn't just stay in our heads. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur warned, you know, in the story of the wedding party. You've heard the wedding party story? There's people rowing all night to a wedding, but they woke up in the morning and the boatman forgot to pull up the anchor. So they've just been going in circles. So if I, you know, am carefully protecting my material desires while I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm like a dog chasing its tail. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, but I'm really just chasing my tail, you know. You know, I'm watering the weeds instead of watering the creeper. Anyway, we have to just, there's no solution but to go on hearing about Krishna and serving him. Tadbidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. That combination of submissive inquiry and service is powerful when we actually do it. So, we just have to do it. No, I forgot the question. Restate the question, see if I answered it. Yeah, not liberation in the moksha sense. I mean, it's beyond liberation. Liberation is me-centered. And in Golok, they're all Krishna-centered. That's why, you know, we hear the Chintamani prayers about Golok. We hear them every morning. Our Jamuna, late great Jamuna Devi, singing the Govinda prayers. So why in the spiritual world, for example, why are all the trees desire trees?
Kalpa-brikkala-kabhrati-shu,
we hear Prabhupada singing. Why are they desire trees? Why is it in this material world you can only go up to a tree and pick one kind of fruit? An apple, a peach, a pear. Why? Because everything here is restricted. Why is everything here restricted? It's like the prison. Do you ever go to prison? You ever been to prison? You don't look like a prisoner. If you go to prison, it's no fun. Everything's restricted. Because everybody is there because of a criminal mentality. And, you know, in the perfect world, these are places of reformation. You know, usually it's just a place to learn how to be a better criminal. But in the ideal sense, it's a correctional institution. So there it's restricted because their mentality is criminal. So similarly, this whole material world is a place of restriction, and it's a place ideally of reformation. You know, if we're doing what the prisoners call good time, if you're doing good time, that means you're passing your time in the prison preparing to get out and be a better citizen. If you're doing hard time, they call hard time, man, hard time, means you're just there, you're bitter, every day's like 12 years or more, but in the wrong way, you're not like Govinda Virahaname. And you're just going to stick it to the man again. You're learning how to be a better criminal and, you know, like that. So in the spiritual world, the kalpa vrikshas supply, what does Prabhupada say in the record? Unlimited, any kind of fruit, unlimited quantity of fruit, because the desires are all licit. They're all pure. Because the tree knows what you know, that Krishna is they just want, you just want to offer it to Krishna. So there's a free flow. It's called a superior energy, superior sequence. And the cows, like we have cows here. I'm so thrilled that you have cows. Along with the college, you have cows. You're really, you know, it's great. We got the really beginnings, you know, of Varnashram College here, I'm hoping. So in, you milk the cows the morning and the evening. It's restricted. You can't just go up to the cow any time and expect to get milk, because we're dealing with flesh and blood and bones and sinews and all those things. But in the spiritual world, you go to the Surabhi anytime, because she knows you're going to milk, you know, get some milk and offer it to Krishna. Krishna is the center. That's beyond me-centered liberation. You know, please, you know, salvation, the Western idea of salvation, or the Eastern concept of moksha. It's the same thing. It's me-centered. When Krishna is the center, that's who we are. We're in our constitutional position. Wonderful Krishna. So that comes by serving him and hearing about him. And it's 10 to 9 and I've gone over. So tomorrow we're going to go into the juice of the Bhagavatam. Srila Vyasa Dev. So, all right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.